Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I sit down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here at Bradford. Today, we're talking about sustainability and how Bradford Teaching Hospitals is working towards a greener future across our sites and services. From electric vehicles and solar power to volunteering projects and reducing waste, there's a huge amount happening across the Trust to reduce our environmental impact and to support healthier communities. I'm delighted to be joined today by Rob Dadsey, who leads on sustainability and environmental work across the Trust. Rob, welcome.
Hi, Mel.
So, let's begin by a little bit of growing our understanding about sustainability, generally speaking. Sustainability can mean lots of different things to different people. What does it actually mean in the context of a large NHS trust like Bradford?
I think that's part of the challenge, Mel. Sustainability has a number of different meanings to various people. It can mean anything from taking care of our environments, our natural spaces, to reducing our carbon emissions. Obviously, the NHS has a big challenge, a target for net zero that we've got to make sure that we've reached by 2040 for our direct emissions. We also have an objective, an ambition as an anchor institute to make sure that we're giving back to the communities that we serve. So there's a social value element to this as well. We want to make sure that we've got a positive social impact overall. And also, sustainability can mean economic sustainability. So being financially stable, remaining financially stable long into the future as well.
And hospitals are large, complex organisations, and we run 24/7. The lights are always on. Why is it so important that the NHS takes sustainability seriously?
Sustainability in the NHS directly impacts patient care, and how we adapt to problems such as climate change is becoming increasingly important. We're seeing growing problems such as heat waves, poor air quality, weather disruptions. It could be floods, it could be anything. And all of that combined is having a really adverse impact on some of the most vulnerable people within the city. So that could be the elderly, the young, our patients, the ill as well. The NHS is also one of the largest sources of public sector carbon emissions. I think it's about 30 to 40% within the public sector, 4% nationally, which means that our direct operations from procurement, waste, anesthetic gases, whatever it might be, it can have an impact. It's important for us to kind of get to capture all of that and make sure that we're addressing it, mitigating it in whatever way, shape or form. I think you also touched upon a really key point in looking at cost things as well. So the estate, the hospitals that we manage, they're old. They're not brand new spanking buildings.
No, I wish they were. Certainly not. I wish they were.
Yeah. And now we all know that in our own homes, prices, energy prices are going up. So you can only multiply that across our footprint at the hospital. And, you know, rising energy costs at home, we suffer from the same issues within the hospital environments that we manage. So we need to improve our operational resilience through investments into LED, solar power, and better insulation wherever we can.
And tell us, Rob, how did you find yourself here? How did your career pathway lead you to Bradford?
I started actually working in education as a teacher within a secondary school. That was after I finished a few years in university. After a while, I thought to myself, you know what, I want to go back to university myself. I want to improve and hone my own skills and understanding and around environmental management, sustainability and all sorts of things. It was really rewarding working within education, but I took a step aside to do something else. I came to Leeds. I'm not from Leeds. You might be able to tell from my accent. I did a course there in sustainability. I then started working in real estate, commercial real estate, construction elements. And I think you need to have a varied background and understanding of all these different areas, because the job I do now, the day-to-day, is quite challenging. It's complex. You've got to have a number of skills underneath your belts. You've got to be able to engage people whilst also overseeing certain construction elements and also talking to people within the states. So, yeah, it's been a roundabout ways to get into this career, but I'm here now.
It's hugely multifaceted, as you've described. So whether it's the built estate, the environment, energy, waste, procurement, travel, all of those things, you're going to be really busy in an organisation like this. What does a typical week look like for you?
Working as part of a team within estates, primarily with my waste manager and my energy manager, trying to find opportunities for energy savings where they exist, or even making sure that we're compliant with our waste regulations, which can be really complex within a hospital environment. We could be dealing with anything from clinical waste to your standard domestic waste, or it could be dangerous materials, radioactive materials from labs. So there's a lot to consider. Also advising on capital projects. So I've mentioned a few already, such as the LED scheme, the solar project. We're also looking at a pretty significant decarbonisation scheme at St. Luke's and trying to figure out whether it's going to be financially viable moving forward. I'm also an environment manager, so making sure that actually we're not polluting where we shouldn't be. And again, given the number of stakeholders and different departments we have within the trust, that could be quite complex as well.
And one of the most visible changes people might start noticing is the move towards electric vehicles across the trust. Can you tell me a bit more about those schemes?
Yeah, I mean, that's particularly the electric vehicle one. It's quite an important one because actually in today's world, we're trying to encourage people to move towards EVs where possible, so that we could reduce our impact, not just in addressing net zero, but also in clean air. Bradford obviously operates in the clean air zone. So we've had to seek external funding to make sure we can get these electric vehicles in. And it's not cheap, but actually we've now got at least 24 spaces. So it's actually about 12 EVs, duals, which provide for 24 electric vehicle chargers to be charging at any one time. So that's a step in the right direction, which is really promising. Alongside that, we've installed just last year 4,000 LED fittings. And the solar PV project that's soon to be complete will be generating just over 1,000 megawatt hours of renewable energy every year, which is really promising because, again, trying to reduce costs, we need to start generating our own electricity.
And some of these things, these initiatives, they require some sort of startup investment, don't they? And some people might assume that sustainability work is expensive, but actually many projects also make operational sense over time. Is that part of the thinking that we're applying here?
100%. We've got a business case to develop as part of any scheme that we go through, just as anybody else would do. Every initiative has to make financial sense, particularly given the nature of our operations. Sustainability is not about spending, I guess, in an uncontrolled manner. It should be, if done right, be helping to reduce costs. Like I said, you know, reducing utility costs in electricity and gas wherever there's an opportunity to do so. And I think actually sustainability at its heart is about efficiency, operating efficiently. So it should be reducing your operational costs if you've considered all elements.
And some of this stuff is about creating an environment. So heat, light, power, all of those things. And some of it is very much orientated to the interface of our people here at Bradford Teaching Hospital and the patients themselves, isn't it? It's the kit we use, the equipment, the supplies. Tell me a little bit about some of the initiatives that we've introduced in the trust that patients, well, they might not even notice because it might not be something that we actively tell them about. But I know that our clinical teams are working really hard on this sustainability agenda as it applies to clinical practice.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I think being led as well by those individual clinical teams who are probably a lot more aware of the opportunities within sustainability than I might even be. The one that comes to mind would be in anesthesiology, where we're seeing that actually we've invested in removing nitrous oxide manifolds. And nitrous oxide, for those that don't know, is a really potent greenhouse gas. It lingers around for decades. So actually, if we could reduce our usage of it, then we're being more environmentally friendly. And we've actually stopped using desflurane for that very same reason. A number of trusts have, because again, its global warming potential is that high. We've recognized there's better ways of doing things. There's better anesthetic gases out there. So why not move away from it?
And everybody has a role to play in this, don't they? So it's not just people who are employed here. It's our volunteers. It's not necessarily the clinical staff, because I know that our gardeners, for example, are really passionate about applying some of these principles to the work they're doing. Can you tell us a bit about that?
The gardeners actually is a really good example. Off their own back, they've spearheaded this initiative. They've installed a potty tunnel, which is like a greenhouse, and they're starting to grow their own plants, their bedding plants, which they use around the site. Now, I've been here just around 12 months, but I was really pleased when I started to see how green the site is, both hospitals, and that's through the efforts of our gardeners. And they've, like I said, they've spearheaded this initiative where they said, actually, need to purchase bedding plants. We could grow them ourselves. It's going to save us thousands across a year. And actually, it's helping us to meet our biodiversity credentials as well by I guess, planting pollinators around the truss, which is fantastic.
It is. And I've seen those on lots of green spaces. We've got our wildflowers, and we're in the middle of no-mow May, aren't we?
Correct. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all really important. We often think about sustainability initiatives as orientated around energy or recycling. But you mentioned earlier procurement and supply chains. Mm. And as a huge user of goods and services, it's a very big area of impact if we can crack that. Why is that important and what are we doing in that space?
It's important because, I mean, and let's put this into perspective of our net zero agenda as well. 60% of emissions from the entire NHS are wrapped up within procurement. So that's not just in the materials we purchase and the decisions we make around selecting reusable or non-reusable materials, but the transport journeys as well from the supplier to us. All of that is that 60%, you know. So it's important that we think smartly, because ultimately the biggest opportunities for us to have a positive impact will be in addressing those purchases. You know, it could be in the contractors and the types of buildings we create. You know, concrete, for instance, can have a global warming potential, you know. So actually thinking about sustainable methods of construction, the amount of waste we send away as well. You know, is it high temperature incineration of our clinical waste streams, or are we going to opt for something that's a little less damaging to the environment? So there's lots of different choices in how we operate that can have an impact on just our output.
And travel, because all of those goods and services, well, the goods in particular, have to be transported. Yep. And we've touched on electric vehicles. Tell me about Beryl Bikes, though.
So Beryl Bikes is an initiative that's been embarked upon by Bradford Council.
And who's Beryl, by the way?
Beryl Burton was a famous cyclist. The scheme itself has been named after her and her efforts in this space. The initiative itself aims to provide community bikes for hire at certain locations around Bradford. So you'll see on Duckworth Lane, just outside of BRI, we've got, I think it's about five or so Beryl Bikes. And their idea is you could pay to use those and get around. Okay. And I think in a city where we're quite constrained when it comes to public transport, bus services in a number of cities are actually dwindling, it helps to have these bikes. And we're looking at St. Luke's as well, so rolling these out St. Luke's once we find the ideal space for them. So in theory, you could cycle in around Bradford and even through to Leeds as well using these Beryl bikes and just put them at the docking station once you're done.
They're electric, are they?
They are electric, in fact. Yes, they are.
Well, they need to be in Bradford, don't they? Let's be honest. A lot of hills. So the capital, we've got Boris and we've got Beryl bikes.
That's right.
In Bradford. Fantastic. Can you think of any other examples then where individuals who are working in our trust are making real choices to do the right thing as far as sustainability is concerned?
There are a number of other initiatives going on. I know Renal have always been really proactive in their initiatives. And in fact, there's the Renal from Home initiative whereby they're going out into the community and they're trying to make sure that they're reducing the amount of waste that's generated within the community setting. We've already talked about the aesthetics department, but also linked to that is pharmacy, in looking at take back schemes or how they can reduce medicines waste. You might not know this, but actually, I guess, metered dose inhalers, the types of inhalers that we use, can have an impact. So actually moving away from metered dose to dry powder inhalers, again, that is beneficial. So it's that type of innovation that we're trying to promote throughout the trust.
So sort of on the international stage, you see a mixture of different approaches by country to that challenge of net zero and the overall aspirations over decades to try and combat the effects of global warming. Yeah. And from an individual person's point of view, it would be very easy to sort of abdicate responsibility, wouldn't it, and say, it's all too big, you know, what difference am I going to make? But certainly I see it with my kids. They're really passionate about this. So my question is, are there particular groups that you've come across that are perhaps more passionate about this that we could learn from?
Definitely. I'd say, as you've touched upon just there, you know, the next generation, the young, they're probably going to be more aware of the opportunities to address the global challenges that we face. We've seen with the advent of AI, for instance, actually, it's a game changer in one sense. And I should think that the next generation of young people coming up through the ranks will be able to best utilize technologies like that to serve, I guess, a common good. I'd also say that it's mindful even in areas like AI of thinking about the pitfalls associated with it. I think this week we're looking at how AI could help us within the healthcare sector. But, you know, there are also pitfalls with it as well. It's linked to modern slavery. It could be linked to high energy outputs. So speaking to the next generation that come up through the ranks and saying, okay, how can we do things sustainably? What does it really mean so that we're not causing problems inadvertently down the line? That's certainly a conversation worth having. That being said, you know, there are certainly other stakeholders, other groups. I don't want to write out everybody that's not young, you know, even people beyond that. I'd say voluntary sector, charities. We do a lot of work with charities. Actually, we have our own charity that's looking at, well, helping us to develop social impact within Bradford. We've done some volunteering with our Green Champions group, who were volunteering with the Bradford Environmental Education Services just last year. So just try and make sure that we've got those strong ties and connections with other anchor institutions, other hospitals or the university or whatever it may be. So there's some really strategic thinking moving forward. I think that's really important to what we're trying to achieve.
And do you get together with people who are in other organisations with similar jobs to yourself? Is there a sort of a league table of the most sustainable hospitals, and what can we learn from them?
I don't know if there's a league table as such. I mean, what we're trying to do here, what I'm trying to do, is work with the investors in the environment. And that is kind of like a badge which says actually you're either bronze, silver, or rather than gold, green, based on your environmental credentials and what you're doing. A big part of that is making sure that we have a green travel plan. So I'm going to be trying to develop a green travel plan this year for the trust. And that at least gets us past the bronze into the silver. But beyond that, yes, we certainly work with other, I guess, anchor institutions, Bradford District Care, Airedale, some of the larger hospitals and trusts in around us. Just to make sure that we're just, I guess, not just lined up in our thinking, but having the biggest impact, because that's what this is for me. It's not competitive as such. We've been speaking to the council, Bradford Council, just to say, actually, could there be a round table? We could all sit around, share our concerns. I think one of the biggest things is on public transport for me. I know that since the pandemic, we've lost bus services, not just here, but elsewhere too. And we need to get together as all the anchors around the district and say, what can we do about that? You know, why is it that we've lost these services, and what can we do in engaging with First Group, who run the buses, or whoever it might be, or Northern Rail, to say, actually, you know what, we're losing some vital services here. We're a key employer within Bradford, so commercially for them it should make sense to engage with us more effectively.
Fewer cars.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So if a member of staff listening wants to get involved or to make a difference, what's your advice to them? Where's the best place for them to start?
There's a number of opportunities. You could get in touch with me directly, express an interest in becoming a green champion. I'll put you on our mailing list. Beyond that, even if it's just on an ad hoc basis, what we're trying to do in September is a waste amnesty day. So again, keep an eye out for that. There's communications that I'm pushing out at the moment through our comms team. And just keep an eye out on the global messages that come through. You'll see opportunities for sustainability, whether that's through volunteering or the waste amnesty, or we're trying to do a bike maintenance session as part of Estates and Facilities Day next month. Again, all these are opportunities for engagement for you to get involved. And if you've got any ideas as well, just feel free to ping me an email and I'll happily respond and let you know how we could support.
And if you could leave listeners with one message about sustainability in healthcare, what would it be?
Like we were talking about throughout this conversation, sustainability has a direct impact on patient care. You know, it is very much integral to what we're trying to do as part of our vision and our objectives, our values as a trust. It is quite easy to think that actually some of these are great big global challenges that we can't influence or have an impact on, but collectively we certainly can do. So that's the message I'd want to get across. You know, even small actions, smaller individual actions, combined with our collective efforts, could have a great big impact. So keep that in mind. Don't lose faith. Just keep focused and, yeah, keep working towards that greener future.
And Rob, when you are not here and you're at home, what sustainability initiative do you apply there that you're most proud of?
The initiative that I'm most proud of at home, I try to set myself little challenges. I try to make sure that we're either walking or cycling or running, being active wherever possible. I've got two daughters at the moment, and again, it's something that we try to embed with them as well, to try to encourage them to be sustainable. We talked about the next generation, but actually teaching them what it means, even if it's a small action like walking down the road to the shops rather than taking the car, again, just that does have an impact, and it's really important to make sure that they're aware of how they could get involved.
Rob, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing more about the work happening across Bradford Teaching Hospitals to create a more sustainable future. For more information about sustainability initiatives across the Trust, visit bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk.